All right, Leviticus chapter 14. We are in part two of this chapter, the treatment for leprosy. Okay, we're dealing with the treatment for leprosy, part two. We talked about last week, so just as by way of review, and then we'll probably not go very long today because good information, but a lot of verses we're not going to read, okay, because some of it is repetitive. If you've gone ahead and read before, you'll see that sometimes we'll talk about if you have a sacrifice of a lamb, here's what you do. Then if you have a sacrifice of a ram, here's what you do. If you have a sacrifice of a turtle dove, here's what you do. And it's all the same exact things just repeated over and over. So it takes up a lot of space. So we're probably not going to read all the verses today, which is good because we'll be going from verse 6 all the way to 51. But we're going to just cover some information here. But by way of review, I want to remind us again what we've been talking about. Leprosy is God's very, very vivid picture of man's problem with sin. Okay, yeah, we're not there yet. I'm just talking. So God's reminding us how disgusting and vile and corrosive and contagious, and how the only cure for leprosy was God, his hand. The only cure for sin is God's hand in our lives. And we talked about the picture of the Lord Jesus Christ last week in his cure. If you remember, we talked about the fact that in this treatment, there was scarlet, cedar, and hyssop. Okay, all used in that. And that's a picture of directly what came upon the cross. And if you remember last week, I had said, I know that we see hyssop and we see scarlet at the cross. And I said, I wasn't sure if we found cedar there. Well, Dan came up afterwards and said that Roman ordinance said that a Roman spear would be made out of cedar. So all of Roman spears at that point were, if you look it up in history, there's about Longius, the man who was supposed to be the person who jabbed Christ with the spear. We don't know if that's for sure or not. That's history. That the Roman long spear was made out of cedar. So again, you see very vividly in that picture, scarlet, hyssop, and cedar, all used at the crucifixion, are all used here in this treatment of leprosy. Okay, so again, just reminding us over and over that Christ is the cure for sin. I just love God's word and how it continues to double down. We also looked at the fact that blood and water would be flowing, okay, as a part of this treatment for your leprosy and the treatment of our sin. We know that Dan just covered a couple weeks ago when Christ went on the cross and they stabbed him in the side, that blood and water flowed. Okay, amazing to me that God already understood exactly what would happen on the cross, and thousands of years earlier he used that as a vivid picture in the treatment of leprosy, because God knows what he's doing. Amen. Then we talked about those two different kind of birds, right? That one bird would die, okay, and that life and moving forward and serving the Lord depends upon death. Okay, you cannot live eternally without the death of someone. Okay, you and I need to pay the penalty of death, and we've talked about that. How many times does Romans say, for the wages of sin is death? Okay, death is the consequences to our sin. If death is not paid for, then we are still in damnation. But Christ paid for our death debt because of sin. Because of that, we're able to live. We saw that second bird who was dipped in the blood, dipped in that water. And again, it was that picture of that clean bird that was released into the field. Okay, and remember, we ended last week with that imagery that we are the ones who are still alive are sent out into the field to bear Christ and bear his blood and, you know, the Holy Spirit into this world. Okay, so again, amazing, vivid pictures. And then we had talked about that the treatment was seven times. We're going to see this a couple of times more. We're not going to see it a couple times. We're going to see seven multiple times. Okay, and again, as we talked about over and over in the book of Leviticus and chasing it through the Bible, that number seven is not necessarily the number of perfection, which some people will try to say. It is the number of completion, meaning God has taken care of it. It is finished. It is done. It is a totally satisfied debt. Okay, it is complete. You with me so far? Some of you going, you're rolling my brain already first thing this morning, Pastor. But I just wanted to remind us that God doesn't mince any words. He doesn't miss any pictures. God created this entire universe, including the way he would sacrifice these birds for leprosy and how he would use scarlet and hyssop and cedar, because he knew exactly how Christ would be crucified and he knew exactly the penalty that would need to be paid for our sin. God amazes me every time. The deeper I look, the more amazed I am. So with that in mind, let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, again, we thank you for your word and what it teaches us. Lord, there are so many amazing pictures here. So Father, I just pray that, again, you would be with us as we look to this. Help my mind as we share this together. Lord, that you would reaffirm your truth with us. Remind us what Christ has done for us. But then also, Lord, remind us how you and I, we can be put back into service for you. It's an amazing thought. So, Lord, just be with us this morning. Help us as we look to your word. In Jesus' name, amen. So if you look verse 6 with me, we'll read a few verses together. Leviticus chapter 14, verse 6. As for the living bird, he shall take the cedar wood and the scarlet and the hyssop and dip them in, and the living bird in the blood of the bird that was killed over running water, and he shall sprinkle him that has been cleansed from his leprosy 7 times, and shall pronounce him clean, and shall let the living bird loose into the open field. And he that is cleansed shall wash his clothes and shave off his hair and wash himself in water, that he might be clean. And after that he shall come into the camp and shall tarry abroad out of his tent 7 days. And it shall be on the 7th day that he shall shave off all his hair of his head and of his beard and his eyebrows, even all his hair shall he shave off, and shall wash his clothes, and he shall wash his flesh with water, and he shall be clean. And on the 8th day he shall take 2 he lambs without blemish, and 1 ewe lamb of the first year without blemish, and 3 deals of fine flour, and for a meat offering mingled with oil, and 1 log of oil. And the priest shall make, the priest that maketh him clean shall present the man that is made clean, and those things before the Lord at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And the priest shall take 1 of the lambs for an offering for a trespass offering and the log of oil, and wave them for a wave offering before the Lord. And he shall slay the lamb in the place where he hath killed the sin offering and the burnt offering in the holy place. And as for the sin offering is the priest, so the trespass offering, it is most holy. We'll stop there for a moment, verse 13. So we see a little quarantine taking place. So boy, I'll tell you what, if this isn't vivid to some of the stuff that's been going on in our world recently, and again, I think we kind of overdid it and overreacted to most of what was going on, but here we see leprosy, which was a terribly contagious disease, and death was its final end, and it was just awful. But when this gentleman, or lady, whoever, when this person was going to be clean and was pronounced clean, they were quarantined for a short period of time. Okay, so they came back to camp and the priests observed them and decided that the leprosy had cleaned itself up, and now there is a quarantine time. So there's a few things that needed to happen during this quarantine time. Number one, they washed their clothes. Okay, and just to continue again to keep this picture going in our mind, God reminds us of this. Go, if you would, to Revelation chapter 7. And those of us who just got done studying Revelation, we had repeated this many times in our study. Revelation chapter 7. We are reminded, verse 14. It says, "And I said unto him, Sir, thou knowest. And he said unto me, These are they which came out of the great tribulation, and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. So again, reminding ourselves that our garments, don't we talk about that with our sins be as scarlet, they should be as white as wool. Okay, that when he looks at us, he sees us in beautiful white raiment because our clothes has been cleansed by the blood. Again, it's particularly interesting to me that one of the stains that's the most difficult to get out is blood. Now, nowadays, we don't have so much problem with it because we've, you know, hydrogen peroxide and all the things that we come up with. But that back in those days, if you got blood on clothing, it was very difficult to come out. But God uses this and says, listen, you know what makes clothing clean and white? Blood. A complete paradox, because that's what this is. If you're going to live, there has to be death. Okay, and God is reminding us. So he needed to wash all his clothes. And Hebrews says that same thing, that we need to be washed. Notice he also needs to shave off all his hair. Okay, his or her hair. Basically, what needs to, the picture here, there's twofold to this. One is there needs to be no flesh that's not uncovered. Okay, because if you had hair, you could actually still have a leprosy hidden beneath your hair, right? So for diagnosis purposes, in the physical picture, they removed all the hair. So that there, whether you had a beard, hair, eyebrows, anything, you took all your hair off so that they could check your flesh. Okay, remember what the picture is there, that there would be no rising in the flesh, that there's no opportunity for the flesh to be doing what it shouldn't be doing. So we remove every option that the flesh could be hidden somewhere. Okay. Number two is removing of the hair was a vow to God that you are purifying yourself. Okay, and it happened quite often. As a matter of fact, I mentioned it to you again a couple of weeks ago about Elijah having that. And they came out and teased him because he had shaved all his hair off. His head and made that vow to be pure, and a couple of she-bear come out of the woods and ate the people who were teasing him. Okay? Don't make fun of somebody if they're trying to purify their life. Okay? And there's so much more to this. There's actually a deep picture here of Israel in the tribulation period as well, dealing with this issue. But notice then he's supposed to wash himself. So you wash your clothes, you shave off all your hair, and then you are to wash yourself, okay? And Ephesians chapter 5, and this is one of those verses we touch base on quite often, but I wanted to remind us, because if we're not focusing, we'll think, oh, this happened thousands of years ago. Thank you, Pastor, for reminding us what the poor Israelites had to do because of leprosy. Remember Ephesians chapter 5, verse 26. The Bible says that he might sanctify and cleanse it. So you can go back a verse or two, because it says, therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, let the wives be subject unto her husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wife, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word. That God is wanting us, his church, his bride, to be washed in the word of God every day. Now I know, again, pictures change. We used to have back in maybe 100 years ago in the United States, maybe not so long ago in some places, where it was Saturday night bath time, right? Come on, have a smile. How many of y'all did that when you were little? Okay, and Lord forbid you were the youngest. Right? Because you know what happened, right? The eldest child bathed first, and then you had the trough, and if you were like the sixth kid, you got to climb in the bathtub with all the dirty water from your brothers and sisters, right? Okay. Aren't you glad now we can just turn on a faucet and you can jump right in the shower? Okay. I'm not going to ask a personal question that I expect an answer from, but most of us shower probably at least once a week. Okay, sometimes you might shower at least once a day. Okay, there are times where I've showered more than once a day. You get up in the morning, want a nice shower, and then you go out and work in the yard and sweat to death, and by 10 o'clock you want another shower, and you clean up and think, all right, that's good, and somebody calls you and says, hey, can you help me move a fridge? So by about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, you're ready for another shower, you know. Isn't it great? You know, we used to, nowadays you get to clean yourself off whenever you want to. Okay, that's the imagery here, is washing of the water by the word. You and I can pick up God's word and cleanse ourselves every single day. We don't have to do it. I hope you don't wait till Saturday night. Oh, got church tomorrow. Better clean myself up. And boy, I hope all my brothers and sisters didn't get in the tub first. Okay? Isn't God amazing the way he uses his imagery? He knows how important it is, because of cleanliness and leprosy and things like this, that we keep our physical bodies clean. And he chooses to use imagery of God's word as basically a nice big bar of soap and some running water that we get a chance to clean ourselves up with every time we have an opportunity. I hope you shower more than once a week. You wonder why sometimes Pastor says, I hope you read your Bible every day. Because most of us shower just about every day. Maybe you'll skip one or two here and there. Most of the time it's because we're just too lazy to get up and get in the shower. I don't want to get all wet. God, we don't push each other to read the Word of God every day because, by golly, I've got to check off my list. I want to make sure 365 days of this year I've been in God's Word because, you know, I'm making brownie points with God. No, you're cleaning yourself up when you read the Word of God. It helps us to check out this flesh to make sure that it's not having a sin problem, because we're washing by the water of the Word. This is part of this quarantine that God wants. You want to make sure that you're dealing with your sin right? You better be washing yourself up. Okay? Come on, guys. Look, I got this. I was working with a friend of mine, and makes me cringe. So I had the flat bar. You know, it's got the flat bars, got the angle on the one end, and then it's got the hook blade on the other end. So I get the flat bar down in the bottom area, and I'm grabbing it, and I'm pushing, trying to pop something off, and it popped off, and my finger was between the little blade of the thing and the wall, and the little tip of my finger is not there anymore. So, of course, we did everything we do with a piece of paper towel and some duct tape was my Band-Aid, right? But notice it's not like that anymore. You know what I did as soon as I got home? Took it off, washed it, put some hydrogen peroxide on it, and then put a Band-Aid on it and cleaned it up. And then, you know, you have a Band-Aid on your hand, you know how clean it stays, right?
Yeah.
About 5 minutes. Okay, you go in there and you got to wash a dish, and it's either, now you got a soggy Band-Aid on, right? And you got to clean it up and take it off and put a new clean one on there and everything else. Now, I'm talking about stuff we normally do, right? Because if I have an open wound on my flesh, I'm not going to just let it sit there and be dirty. I want to clean it up. I want to make sure that it's tended to, put some bag balm on it, put a nice bandage on it, you know, so it's clean, so it doesn't get infected. Is this vivid pictures enough for us that God's trying to remind us what we need to do with our flesh every day? Because all of a sudden, if I have a rising or a flesh problem, shouldn't just let it stay dirty. I need to clean it up. I need to make sure I take care of it. That's what God's talking about here. So in this quarantine, God says, all right, I've cleansed you from your sin. Now you've got to keep it clean. Shave off your hair, clean your clothes up, wash your body, make sure you're in the right position. And then he's allowed to go back into camp. But I want you to notice, he goes into camp for 7 days. But he's not allowed to go back to his own house yet. Now remember what happened with the leper is a leper was exiled from the community. He was separated. He couldn't be with God's people, couldn't be with anybody anymore. He had to unclean, and he had to stay away from everybody. Nobody could touch him. He couldn't come near anyone. Now God's cleansed him, and he's allowed to be back around God's people again. And he can minister and be ministered unto. But there's a quarantine time. 7 days. Now again, that number 7 ought to be popping out in your mind. Okay, we talk about it all the time. As a matter of fact, God continues to use the number 7. Some people ask, well, you know, why does God allow this universe to continue the way it is? We were just talking about this on Wednesday. Why didn't God just deal with stuff right away? Because God is waiting for seven to be complete. He's making sure that mankind has shown that he is completely dependent upon God. This guy goes back into camp for 7 days. He doesn't just walk back home. I'm home now. 7 days he is set aside to make sure that his leprosy is completely gone. God, when he deals with sin, makes sure sin is completely dealt with. Guys, that's why the time period on this universe is about 7,000 years. And God is making sure that what Romans says is true. Romans says that every mouth would be stopped and there would be no excuses. No one is going to go into eternity in heaven or hell and be able to turn to God and say, but you didn't give me a chance. 7,000 years we've had to understand man's sinfulness. There is a complete checking into. So for 7 days, he is out of exile, back with his family. At the end of 7 days, guess what happens? We read it. Did you catch it? At the end of 7 days, he walks right back into his tent, right? No, at the end of 7 days, he shaves his head again, washes his clothes again, washes his body all over again. You getting this idea that this cleansing that you and I need to do isn't something that just happens once in a while? So, okay, you're back in the camp. You're looking great. We're checking you out. But you know what? Before we officially allow you to go back home and take up your regular life again, you better wash up again. You know, the Apostle Paul says, listen, I die daily. Paul says, when it comes to this flesh, I'm making sure it's taken care of every single day. I don't even skip a day. Every day. He says, you want to get it back into your house, into your normal life like it's been? You better wash up again. Better clean yourself up. Folks, and I can only talk for me, because I don't live in your head. My flesh doesn't take a day off. Does yours? It's always there. Sometimes it's not pushing as hard as it has been in other days, but it's always there. Some days it wants its way and it's kicking against all the things that I want to do and I know what's right. Sometimes it's just ready to pop out and flare up and I have to keep it where it needs to be. And the moment I let my guard down, so I was doing the fire last night, the burn over here at the church. We got done, I was, you know, was sweating me, roasted myself. I got a, like I said, sunburn, not from the sun, but from the fire. And got all cleaned up, came home, got showered up, got everything done. I plunked down in the chair in the living room, and Kim looks across the room, and she goes, what is that? I said, what? It was a tick on me. So guess what I did? It's still there. You want to see it? No. As soon as I noticed it was there, get the tweezers, man, and it's not staying. Even after I'd showered up and cleaned up, we noticed there was still a problem, and we dealt with it right away. Because you know what? Even though everything was going great, I was serving the Lord, I was working at his place, doing this burn, getting stuff cleaned up, there was still a problem in my flesh. It always, you got to be on the lookout 24/7. And I know that's a bug, but it's this vivid imagery that in our flesh, you just never know. You can think, oh, I took a shower, everything's great, I feel great, it was a nice and warm shower, I'm all clean, and look down, and there's a stinking critter made it through the shower. Telling you. Need to wash up. Need to be ready to deal with our flesh. Ephesians chapter 2 says something pretty neat, and I want to just read this before we go any further. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 12. That in times past you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who were sometimes afar off were made nigh by the blood of Christ. We talked about this morning. It's not just about rules and regulations. It's not just about making sure you're inside a building that's called a church on a Sunday, that God wants to be close to you. You get that? For this person's entire infection, they were exiled from all of God's people. They were alone. They were separated. But it says they were made nigh by the blood of Christ. The fact that they now had their leprosy cleansed and that blood was shed, all of a sudden they're allowed to come back. Man, I would hate being alone. I was telling you the story about those missionaries who worked with quite a few lepers in India. And once they got to the point where God had dealt with their leprosy, one of the things that they longed for the most was just for a human being to touch them. Just put their hand out and just tap them on the shoulder, because that never happened. That human touch, I think you and I take it for granted. You walk into church, somebody wants to give you a hug, or you know, you're home, somebody just back. Go for years and years and years without having anyone come anywhere near you and just show you a little affection just by a little pat on the shoulder. You understand that imagery? God says, because of what the blood of Jesus Christ done, he has drawn us nigh unto God. I love that. Because you know what? When I look at my sin and I know who I am, I know I have every reason for God to exile me to hell forever. But because of what he's done for me and his love for me, he drew me close. Love that. So this is the quarantine. You wash up. He sees you for 7 days. You're looking good. Wash up again. Get yourself all cleansed up. And then I hope you noticed there's a word here that popped out. It says, verse 10, and on the eighth day. That's another number, guys, that's very important. Okay, we talked about it how many times that number 8 in the Bible means new beginnings. Okay, and again, vividly right here on the piano, Kim's not sitting there, but God pictured it in music. There's a 7-note scale, but it's not complete until you get to the eighth, right? Do, re, mi, fa, sol, la, ti. Right? You get back to, finally you're like, you can't leave me hanging out there, dude. God knew. That's why 7 and the eighth is that do again. It's first thing. It's the first one all over again, brand new. Same thing with today. We call this the first day of the week, right? Where there's 7 days to Saturday, and then the eighth day is the first day all over again. It's brand new. Okay, God continuously pictures this. Guys, in our understanding of the universe and God's plan, there are 7,000 years, and when that 7,000 year is done, he makes a brand new heaven and a brand new earth. It's everything is new again in the eighth. All the way back to here in Leviticus with the dealing with leprosy, he's picturing his plan for sin in the universe throughout eternity. It's amazing. So you come in and he says, all right, I've given 7 full days to make sure your sin is dealt with. Now that we cleared all that up, you've washed, you've done everything you could, on the eighth day, you're allowed to come home. Man, it doesn't get any better. What an amazing picture that God gives us. So now we go from quarantine to rehab. So what am I going to do every night? Okay, I'm home now. Things are different. So what do I do now to deal with my leprosy? I know I got to wash. I know I got to take care of my clothes. Look at what he does here. Verse 14. And the priest shall take some of the blood of the trespass offering, and the priest shall put it on the tip of the right ear of him that is to be cleansed, on the thumb of the right hand, and on the great toe of the right foot. Okay, so now he applies the blood to that man or woman's, the leper, the cleansed person's life, on the ear, the thumb, and the toe. Okay, and again, I think we can pretty much picture what God's trying to say, because we covered this already when the priests were dedicated. Okay, God puts it on your ear because he wants to make sure that the blood has cleansed the things that you hear. Can't place, I know it's simplified, but what you hear is what goes into your head, what you process. My a pastor friend when I was growing up that in the church where I was at high school used to say, garbage in, garbage out. Okay? God says, listen, let the blood be applied to your ear, that you're hearing God's word, that that's what's going into your brain. Number two, on your thumb of your hand, because the way you serve him. And then, of course, the toe, because of your walk through this life. So he applies the blood to those three areas to remind us that there's a cleansing because of the blood. But we're not done yet. Look what it says in the next verse. And the priest shall take some of the lot of oil and pour it on the palm of his own hand. And the priest shall dip his finger in the oil that is on his left hand, and shall sprinkle the oil with his finger seven times before the Lord. So again, we know oil in the Bible is a picture of the Holy Spirit. Notice, and the rest of the oil that is in his hands, the priest shall put on the right ear of him that is to be cleansed, the thumb of the right hand, and the great toe of the right foot, upon the blood of the trespass offering. Now I love this. God says, okay, I've applied the blood to your, what you hear, how you serve, how you walk. Now I'm going to give the Holy Spirit in those same areas. But notice, you don't get the Holy Spirit's power in those areas until the blood has been applied. And this is something that we need to understand. If you want God to put his power upon your life, you need to have your sin dealt with. If the blood doesn't come into your life and you're not depending upon it for cleansing, don't expect God to use you. You know how many people in this world want to serve God? And I honestly, 100% believe in all sincerity, they want to do what God wants them to do. But until someone has understood that they have a sin problem and has understood that the Lord Jesus Christ and the penalty that he has shed his own blood to pay, until they apply the blood of Christ to their life, nothing that they can do is going to be used by God. Right? Without faith, it is impossible to please God. That's what his word says. So you apply the blood first for the cleansing. Because without the death, without that sacrifice, there is no remission of sin. Then after the blood is applied, now God can say, look, now I'm going to use the Holy Spirit in your life and you're going to become useful for me. And I'm going to be able to do some things. So you see this big process that's going on here? Okay, I've been purified, cleansed. And now I'm going to, 7 days, I'm setting myself aside. I'm washing up, I'm cleaning up, I'm doing everything I can. When that passes, I know God can use me. Good, now I'm going to put this blood applied to my life. I'm going to, what I hear, what I do, where I walk, how I live. And now God says, good. Now I'm going to give you the power of my Holy Spirit to be able to minister through your life. So, okay, great. Now it's even better.